Hello, and welcome to Faith Talks, a podcast dedicated to providing a platform where we can discuss the issues that challenge our faith in a judgment-free, authentic, and modern way. We'll learn how to determine the maturity of our faith and be inspired to grow an unshakable faith that will help us align with our destiny. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Woman, your faith has made you whole. Get your faith up. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to be back with y'all. Today's topic is faith for the marriage, and I believe you are in for a treat. We are joined today by the wise wife, Delonda Owens Tucker. Delonda is a native of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She's a certified Christian marriage and life coach, speaker, and author. She is passionate and transparent in her powerful testimony. Her journey of loss, healing, and learning to love again has empowered and encouraged countless women. Delonda has had the honor to be invited as a repeat speaker for several women's conferences. She's been a guest contributor for several magazine publications discussing love and marriage, finding love again, and blended families. She was also honored to be a guest on the International Christian Network, TBN, where she discussed the importance of healthy blended families. She's been awarded and received the Motivational Speaker of the Year Award in 2014 and 17. And in 2018, she made her debut as an author, releasing The Wise Wife: Three Powerful Prayers for Wives to Pray Every Day. She followed up with her sophomore book in 2019, The Wise Wife: 30 Days of Prayers for Wives. She is most passionate about empowering and educating wives and wives-to-be to utilize their God-given wisdom for a healthy and loving marriage. She is happily married to Mr. Daryl Tucker, and the two share three beautiful children. I know that you're in for a treat, so why don't you go ahead and settle in, grab your coffee, turn it up in the headphones or on the car radio, whatever you got to do, and let's welcome Delonda Owens Tucker. You've already heard her bio. I am so excited to have her, and I think you're going to be blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to the wise wife, Delonda.
Hi.
Thanks for having me. How are you, lady?
I am great. I'm so excited to be with you today.
We are so excited to have you. Listen, let's just jump right in and introduce to everybody what it is you do as a coach and how you assist wives and married couples.
Definitely. So again, my name is Delonda Owens Tucker. I'm otherwise known as The Wise Wife, but I am a certified Christian marriage, life, and professional coach. I am also a two-time author. I am also a motivational speaker, as well as a minister, a wife, and a mother. I am so passionate and committed to helping wives and wives-to-be tap into their God-given purpose and wisdom that God has given us. And sometimes, you know, we know that God has given us something, but my job is to help them tap into that and utilize it effectively in their marriages.
I love that. And that is why I reached out to you to do this podcast, Faith for the Marriage, because I certainly believe that it's so important for women who are new wives, women that want to be wives, and women that have accepted the title of fiance to be coached and to be led spiritually and to be taught truly what marriage is like and what it really means to be a wife. And so let's jump right in. There was a post on your IG. Like I said, I am an avid follower. and I think it sets the tone for our podcast today. It reads, "Love is no assignment for cowards." Now, I love this quote and I fully approve and support this message. Could you speak to your thoughts behind that and what you teach couples from this perspective?
Sure. It definitely ruffled some feathers because people are like, well, what does that mean? You know, I got a lot of DMs that day.
Yes.
But basically what my thoughts and my sentiments are, you know, is that love is really all about serious, serious sacrifice. And if you're not willing to sacrifice, which takes a very selfless, mature person, you're not going to really win at this thing called marriage. And when you think about a coward, not that I was trying to put anything, people, you know, any person down per se, but I wanted to come from a perspective of letting people know, literally, you have to be a person who is ready to endure unpleasant things. And sometimes love can be very unpleasant at times. And it requires a lot of responsibility and a lot of accountability. And a lot of people don't like to be responsible. A lot of people don't like to be accountable to whom they're married to. And so it's no assignment for cowards. It's no assignment for a person who lacks courage to endure. And that's what I meant.
I love that. When you said, you know, people don't necessarily want to do the work.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, it definitely, for me, it resonated because, you know, in the first year of marriage, you assume that it's going to be, you know, the honeymoon phase, and you assume the hard times won't come, and you assume that things are going to be great. You're going to be building, and it's going to be hashtag married goals, you know, but the reality of it is, you know, for me, when I got married, the second time, I've explained to my listeners that I've been married before, but my second marriage, within our first year, his grandparents had passed away. And as a new wife, I had to learn what it looked like to support my husband through that process. I couldn't do it my way. I had to do it the way that he needed me to do it. And so when you say love is not an assignment for cowards, you can't choose to love the way you want to love and think that that's enough. And I think that's a perfect example of that.
You know, what is also so interesting, and that's powerful that you endured that immediately. You know, I share with many couples that I coach, especially those that are going to be married, understand that your marriage is going to be hit with something. Yes. You might not know what it's going to be hit with, but it's going to be hit with something. And so it's important to make sure that you have a strong foundation before you get married, because once you, you know, deal with any kind of hits or any kind of calamity, your marriage is going to show you what it's made of.
Wow.
And calamity is going to introduce you to your real self. So it's going to show you what you're also made of.
Oh, my goodness.
If you did not create and establish a firm foundation, you're going to know about it.
Yes. Now that is the whole truth.
Yeah.
I can say from personal experience, and you really did take me right into my next question. When it's time to build that foundation, what tools do you believe couples need to build that foundation prior to marriage?
Oh, sure. So when I coach couples, and I've even coached couples that are already married, and unfortunately they didn't get the tools when they got married. So we're backtracking.
Right.
But I usually tell them that setting the foundation of expectations is huge.
Yes.
You know, one of the big, you know, one of the big underlying problems in marriage is unspoken expectations.
Yes.
And those are those expectations where, you know, you get married and you have something in your heart or in your mind and you don't share it. You don't voice it. You don't communicate it to your spouse, but you just automatically just think that they should know. And that's a huge error in a lot of marriages. They're unspoken expectations. So whether it was, hey, I expect you to do AYZ and you decided to do nothing, but you cannot keep a person, you know, in bondage for something that you never shared.
Yes.
So you need to actually have all of the expectations that you expect within the marriage. You need to put that on the table and discuss it. You need to talk about finances. You need to talk about money. You need to talk about sex and how much you're going to have of it, or how much you're not going to have.
Right.
You know, all of that stuff is important. And I end up getting with these couples, and they have not discussed any of those expectations, which is why they're running into problems. So I share, put your expectations on the table. What do you want to see? What are the goals that you guys want to accomplish in the marriage? And another important thing, what are you bringing to the marriage?
Yes.
Because we can have this whole entire list, but it's unfair for you to have a laundry list when you don't have anything that you're bringing to the table.
Wow.
What are you going to bring to the table? What are you going to add to the marriage? You want to bring value to the marriage. So those are some foundational tools that I use to help couples implement in their marriage.
Wow. And those are so big. I think for me, like I said, I always fall back to my own personal experience here on the podcast. When I remarried, I felt like, you know, okay, I know enough now. I've grown enough. I've matured enough. You know, certainly I'll be a great wife. But the reality of it is that even though we had gone through premarital counseling and we had done that with our pastor, actually our team of pastors, I still, at the end of the day, realized that we did not really build a foundation that our marriage needed.
That's good.
Like you said, speaking those expectations. And when you talk about everything from sex to finances, you literally need to talk about every area.
Absolutely.
And each person needs to be able to communicate their expectations. Because what happens is when that person fails you, like you said, you can't hold them accountable because you never spoke it.
But you wind up
having resentment. You wind up, you know, feeling like you've not been loved properly, or, you know, sometimes ego can play a part. You're like, well, I did what I was supposed to do, and that person didn't do their part. And now you're looking at a marriage that is, you know, without a great foundation.
Absolutely.
And potentially, you know, falling apart because the foundation wasn't built.
Absolutely. And you look, and you have to look at it. And I also like to give them the example of, think about a house. Think about, if you were building a house, you would make sure that you had the most stable materials that would withstand storms, rain, tornadoes, you know, all kinds of things of weather. It's the same thing that should apply to your marriage. So you need to make sure that the foundational materials are set. And that's, you know, the things like expectations and communication and trust and all of that kind of stuff, so that you can weather the storm. When you don't do that, you're not prepared to weather the storm. You're ill prepared.
Absolutely. Now, when you say prepare to weather the storm, I feel like another great segue. Let's talk from the idea that love is not enough.
Yeah. It's not.
It's not. It's not.
And you know what, Christina? When you get married and you're in love, you really do think, you know, that is enough. You really think that, hey, all I need is him, and it's just he and I against the world, and we're gonna make it. And you know, that is really a fantasy, because it's not enough.
Right.
And even when, you know, I posted that not too long ago, I think a couple days ago, when I said love is not enough.
Right.
Love is what gets you to the altar. It's not what keeps you together.
Wow. That's not a sound bite.
It's not. I mean, think about it. Like, I think about my marriage. I mean, I'm completely in love with my husband, but my love for him is not everything.
Right.
It's so many other components that engulfs my marriage.
Yes.
And so when you talk about love is not enough, it's not to do marriage maintenance. You know, when you talk about maintaining your marriage, it's no different than you maintaining your car, getting the oil changed, getting all of the things done and maintained so that it is running well. So when you refer it to a marriage, it's okay, well, we don't need just love, even though love is a big component. We need mutual trust.
Yes.
We need mutual respect. We need to be able to respect each other. We need to be able to have healthy boundaries. So we don't need to, you know, make sure that, you know, we're not hitting below the belt. Our communication needs to be, you know, intact. We also need space to grow. Like, you're not going to be the same person that you were when you first married. And some of the things that you wanted when you first married that you want now are totally different. So you want to give each other space to evolve, space to grow. So there's so many things that encapsulate, you know, maintaining a healthy marriage, and love is just a fraction of it.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. And I would have to say that you've added so many great pieces, the respect, the trust. And I would also say discipline.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
It takes a heavenly discipline.
Oh, you know, to maintain. I love that. That's right.
Yes. Like you said about the car, yes, maybe you can afford the car, but it takes discipline to maintain the car. Are you disciplined enough to get up and wash the car and clean the interior of the car? Exactly. You know, are you disciplined enough to put what the car needs into it? Maybe you want to just buy the cheap tires when the car runs a certain type of tire. You know, it takes discipline. I also would add to that. I love those things that you've added.
Yeah, I think that people think that love and even marriage will take care of itself. It seems like it is the only relationship that people think that it will take care of itself, but people fail to realize that you're married to another human being, and that human being has thoughts, suggestions, feelings, emotions, and so that has to be maintained.
Right.
It's just the truth of it. It has to be maintained. It can't be on autopilot. It's not a team.
Yeah.
It's a living organism.
Yes. And you know, someone said that to us when we first got married. Someone said, "Your marriage is a baby."
Yes. Yeah.
She said, you know, you really have to think of it like a baby. You're newly married, and so you have a newborn. And if your newborn is hungry, it's going to cry. If your newborn needs attention, it's going to cry. But if you've given your newborn everything that that baby needs, you won't have those issues. You won't have a crying newborn. You won't have an irritable newborn because you've poured into that newborn what that baby needs. And it really put things into perspective, even today. You know, you think about it and you're like, wow, if I'm doing what I need to do in these areas of my life, like you said, calamity doesn't show me that I've built a foundation of sand or what have you.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah, that's really good. Now, along with that, this is one of those that I will say, this one snatched me. It really pulled my edges. Okay. This one tightened me up a little bit because I was going through a time in my marriage where I felt like I was doing the Christianly wife thing. I was praying, I was fasting, you know, I was covering my husband. And it was like, the more I prayed, the more hell broke loose, if you will. Wow. And so when I read this post, I was like, okay, now the wise wife, I'm not sure about this one. It read this way. It says, "Be his refuge and not his source of contention."
Yes.
Now, I know you got a lot of DMs about this one because this has been pretty controversial, especially for the millennial wives, the younger wives that are like, well, what about me? What about, you know, him being my piece? And what about when he's tripping, you know, why can't I respond? Or why do I have to be the one to set the example for peace in our home?
Yeah.
So will you expound on that for me?
Well, sure. Yeah, I know. Everybody was like, well, what in the world? But when you think about, I'm huge about words. So when you think about refuge, you think about a place of safety, rest. You think about a place that provides shelter and safety, but it's also a condition. It's a conditional thing. So it's like you find solace and peace in it. And so being a wife that provides safety and shelter is not just what people think I was probably saying.
Right.
I'm saying, not like necessarily being the wife that's constantly fussing and arguing, but the other flip side of that is, can he feel safe when he's with you? Does his heart trust you?
Wow.
Can he be his authentic self with you? Does he wear a mask with you?
Wow.
A lot of husbands are afraid to be their authentic selves because they don't trust their heart with their wife.
Wow.
Who wants to be married to someone I can't trust my heart with?
Right.
And it's like, okay, are you really looking at this? And even in Proverbs, it says her husband safely trusts in her. I love that verse of scripture because I want to be the wife where my husband doesn't have an option. He has no other option but to trust me. Yes. He has no other option but to find refuge, peace, solace, and safety in me. I'm not going to be the one that's going to be the source of confusion, the source of frustration, the source of contention, arguments, disagreements. And it's not to say that I don't have a disagreement. It's not to say that I don't have a matter of difference of opinion, but when it comes to him being, or me being what he needs, I'm it.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't gonna have no other option. I'm it.
Right.
There is, I mean, you have to think about it where, why do we have wives that always are so frustrated with, you know, my husband doesn't talk to me, my husband doesn't share his heart with me, or, you know, I don't never know what he's thinking. But you have to look within and say, now, not that he's not doing it, why isn't he doing it?
Right.
There's a reason why. Obviously, the atmosphere that you've set up, wife, is not conducive for him to share. It's not conducive for him to feel safe. So he's not going to. And it's not that he's not talking. He's talking to someone, whether it's his, you know, his guy friends. He's just not talking to you.
Oof.
And I'm never going to be that wife. No, you ain't gonna have that. I'm gonna be what you need.
Yeah.
That excuse you will never have.
Wow.
No, I'm not. You're not gonna have that one. My husband's not gonna have that excuse. Now he might say you something else, but he's
right.
He gonna say that,
right?
And another piece I want to also, you know, expound on that is also, you know, when we're communicating, a lot of us have a judgment zone.
Yes.
You know, we're afraid to share because we're afraid to be judged. And that's really just being honest. The wife is afraid or the husband's afraid. And so you want to have a non-judgment zone. So what does that look like? That means when your husband is sharing, you might have to have a poker face. It might really bother you what he's saying. However, what you are doing, you're setting an atmosphere for him to be honest, for him to be transparent, and for him to feel safe. And that's the goal. That's the goal. Yeah. Not to go back and forth and contend and say, well, I don't make you feel like that. That's not what you do.
Wow.
The goal is to make him feel safe. I am your peace. I am your shelter. I'm your refuge. You can find solace and peace and safety in me.
Wow.
The woman that you married and the woman that you love.
Wow. I have to be honest. It took me some time. And honestly, we were probably in, you know, well into year three before I recognized that what I saw as me giving my opinion or me wanting better for my husband wound up coming across as me being judgmental.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That was, for me, that was an eye opener because I always said, I'm not judgmental. That's not who I am. But the reality of it became the more he shared and the more he really wanted to unpack and uncover who he really was and how he really felt about things or his opinion on certain things, it felt to him like I was being judgmental. And so, like you said, I was no longer providing that safe place for his heart because, you know, anytime, even as women, if we share something from a vulnerable place and someone immediately comes back with, oh, well, maybe you should think about this instead of that, or, you know, well, yeah, maybe you need to work on that. Then immediately we shut down. I'm never sharing again because I was vulnerable with you and this is what you did with it.
Yeah. And it's literally the same thing for our husbands. You know, if they feel that there's excuses or judgment, they will be very apprehensive to share and open up again. I mean, I've dealt with it as well. I mean, until my husband really shared with me, you know, you like to defend and say, I don't do that, or I don't make you feel like that. And so it took a lot of soul searching and a lot of self-assessment for myself to understand that, Delanda, you actually do that. You do say, well, I don't make you feel like that. And I had to eat it.
Yeah.
And to take that, and I had to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I do recognize that I do that, because what that did was he refused to open up because he knew that every conversation was going to end in him being judged, him looking like the bad person, and me never taking responsibility.
Wow.
And it takes a mature person to do that.
Absolutely. Now, I would ask you, how would you coach a wife who now recognizes that she's not necessarily created that safe place for her husband? And she's heard him say, like you said, and like I've shared, she's heard her husband say, you know, every time I share with you, I feel like you're judging me, or you say this, or you defend yourself, or what have you. How would you coach her to take steps toward becoming that safe space for her husband?
She definitely has to go back and kind of rewrite some wrongs. Yes. And so what that's going to look like is reinforcement. It's just going to look like a lot of reinforcement, going to her husband, sharing with her husband and telling her husband, hey, I know in the past, this is what I've done. However, I am trying to learn to, to create an atmosphere that will have you to feel that you're able to share with me. I'm trying to create an atmosphere that's conducive for safety. So, I mean, she can apologize. Right. And all she has to do is try to be more consistent in her efforts and not give up, because he might not believe her the first couple of times.
Right.
Because it's been such a pattern. But anything that's a pattern, you have to have some patience in breaking those patterns.
Right.
So she just has to exercise patience in him, you know, trusting the fact that, hey, she's turned over a new leaf, but she just has to be consistent in her efforts.
I love that. And I think you hit a major point there in being consistent. Again, being transparent, that's one thing that I have heard is, you know, I just need you to be consistent here. Not only have I heard it, but I've said it. We want, as women, we want consistency, we want stability, but men want that as well. And so I think that is such a great point that you make. Now, I will say that you are fair. So you don't only say that women need to create a safe space for their husbands.
Say that again, because I've been told I'm not fair. I'm like, I am the wise wife. You think I would just be all on the husband's side? I'm like, come on, ladies.
It's fair. Okay, ladies. Now, you do speak about reciprocity in marriage, both being giving and receiving and exchanging. And I believe this is so important for marriage. I know that it's such a, you know, this concept of 50-50, and we've challenged that. And, you know, marriage is never going to be 50-50. Marriage truly has to be 100%. Sometimes it's 110 on one side, and, you know, but it truly has to be each of us giving our best effort. But would you speak to some examples of what that looks like, both of us giving and both of us being willing to exchange and receive?
Yes. So I believe that relationships, especially marriage, they have to be reciprocal. So that means that I need to give, I need to also receive, I need to exchange, as well as the spouse needs to do the same thing. However, of course, we know that there are sometimes in marriage where it feels like one person is, you know, doing all the giving and the other person is just doing all the receiving and the taking. And that's just, unfortunately, sometimes it will be like that. But in those instances, I do try to share with couples to look at their marriage as a seed. Look at it as an investment. The more that you invest, the more valuable it will become. Is it unfair at times that it feels as if you're only giving? But if you are consistent in your giving, what you're doing is investing in your spouse and also letting your spouse see that really this is how we should be giving to each other. We are to be serving the other. And I'm sorry, I have seen it. There has been no marriage that I have coached where one person was doing all the giving and the other person's heart didn't change in the process. And so that's usually sometimes a problem where I have with married couples. They will get impatient with the process of investing because they want it to happen, you know, right away. Well, I've been doing all the giving and he or she is not doing anything or they're not responding. But if you continually do the giving, if you continually keep sowing the seed, your harvest will come back. You will get a return in harvest and your spouse will see that, hey, they have been consistent. They have been giving. They have been exchanging. They've been selfless. That shows them how to respond and how to act. And then they, in return, start doing the same thing.
I love that. And I think it's important to highlight with everything that you've said, it really takes a selfless person.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who has decided to be selfless in the marriage. Like you said, you know, when you go through marriage counseling, the husband is taught to be the priest and the provider, you know, but also I believe that we need to learn because some of us don't come into marriage selfless. Some of us come into marriage very selfish and we don't realize it until it's time to partner.
Absolutely. You know? And I think it's okay to even ask your spouse, you know, what do you need from me? You know, we adapted that a little early on in our marriage, you know, because I never wanted to assume that all was well in our marriage. We made this pact that we're never going to assume all is well. I'm never going to just act like, okay, yeah, we're good. No, I'm going to ask you, honey, what do you need from me? And my husband will ask me, honey, what do you need from me this week? Or he will take it day by day. Honey, what do you need from me? And I'll share that with him. And there, that might be a week that he's giving probably more than I am. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to give. It just might mean that it might be off balance sometimes. And it's okay, but that's where the selflessness comes in into your marriage. It might not always be balanced, but as long as you are both doing your equal part of giving and reciprocating, I think, you know, your marriage will be good.
I agree. I have to agree with that. And I definitely believe that once you decide to always be serving, you know, that makes such a difference. That's such a great piece. I want to talk about this as well really quickly. And I think this ties right in. A wise wife knows how to come into partnership with God for her marriage. Now, I know for me personally, I always looked at that, I think maybe a little more closed-minded than God intended for me to. you know, I would do the praying. I would do the fasting. I would, you know, read the scriptures. I would even sometimes beat him over the head with the scriptures. Like, well, this is what the word says, and we need to line up with the word. But I think when it came down to it, I needed to also learn how to implement the word and how to walk the word out in my marriage and how to actually show the word of God and show, you know, the Holy Spirit in action within my marriage. So would you talk to the wife who, you know, she already walks with God, she already knows the Lord, she has a relationship, but now she needs to learn or she wants to learn how to come into partnership with God for her marriage?
I love this when I say this often to wives. It is one of the biggest pieces of wisdom that I can ever share to a wife because it is something that I've walked out in my own marriage. What I am consistently still walking out, I came into partnership with God, meaning I gave him my concerns, my worries, my doubts, all of my, you know, unrealistic expectations that I had for my husband. Yeah. And I shared them with God. And I said, you know, God, I can't do this, but you can. So show me me, show me the error of my ways, and show me what I need to do to partner with you so that you can use me as an instrument and tool in my marriage. That's coming into partnership with someone. That's coming into someone who is of higher authority and helping and assist them with, you know, whatever, you know, you're dealing with. But when I came into partnership with God is when my marriage changed. It literally transformed before my very eyes. It was God taking my husband and all of the concerns that I had and shared with God, and he perfected them, just like the word said. Wow. He will perfect those things that concern you. And I will just go to God and say, hey, God, this is an area of concern for me. This bothers me. This, I wow. don't like this about my husband. Now, Father, show me, you know, give me the wisdom and the fortitude to walk with my husband in regards to this. And so when you also come into partnership, you know, with God, God gives you direction. He gives you instruction. He gives you steps. And so when you're in partnership, you follow, you just walk it out. That's all right. You're doing. You're walking out the direction and the instructions that he gives you. And that's how you get success. You don't lean to your understanding and your intellect. You lean on God's. So, wow. And another thing I love to say is, I would control all the controllables, and all the uncontrollables I would leave to God.
Yes, that's good.
I'm like, I can't control it, so I'm going to control what I can control. And everything else that I can't control, which is the uncontrollables, that's on you, God.
Yes.
That's wow. on you. You finish it. You do the work. You deal with his mind. You minister to him much more than I can do. And right. that's how you come into a partnership with God. It's not an easy thing. It really is, like you were saying, you know, earlier, it's really about discipline. Because yes. when you have a wife that's, you know, dealing with issues in her marriage, especially with her husband, she's emotional. And right. sometimes she can become irrational. And so many times, you know, God is not the first resort. He's the last resort. Wow. And so when you come into partnership with God, he becomes your first, you know, he becomes your first step, not yes. your last. And so your emotions have to get in check. You have to discipline your emotions and control that, and don't be led by them.
Wow. You just said a mouthful, and that's an area where I wanted to go next, is you have to learn how to control your emotions. Your emotions are going to tell you to behave a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
Your emotions are going to tell you to respond a certain way.
Yes.
But one thing that I learned, and this took growth, is that when I surrender myself to the authority of the Holy Spirit, wow, surrender yes. myself to the power of God, he starts to check me first.
Yes. yes. Oh, that's so good. That's so true.
Yes.
That's so true, because that's what he does. And that's also what prayer does.
Yes.
You know, sometimes they're like, well, I'm going to just pray on him. Like, you know, like you're going to sit God on him. God don't listen to them kind of prayers anyway.
Wow.
He don't listen to you saying, God, get him, and he doing this. God does not listen to those kinds of prayers. God only responds to our humility.
Wow.
He responds to the posture of our heart. And if your heart posture is not right, he is not listening.
Ooh, you are teaching.
He's not going to listen to that. Because first of all, he's going to deal with you. So yes. in the time of prayer, he is going to reveal you to you.
Wow.
That's the first thing he's going to do.
Yes.
I love to also say, when you're dealing with times of prayer, don't tell me that you've been in the face of God and you haven't changed.
Wow.
If you've been in the face of God, God deals with you first.
Yes.
You are the first one he deals with.
Yes.
He does not jump over you and handle your husband. He right. deals with you. He tells you how to handle it. He tells you, you shouldn't have said this. He tells you, hey, you're selfish in this area. Hey, you don't listen to me in this area. Oh, he deals with you.
Wow, yes, yes.
You don't jump over hoops and nothing. He deals with who's coming to him first. So wow. you must get your heart posture right.
Wow.
And that's all a part of coming into partnership with God and just being a wife of prayer.
Yeah.
And so this impacts your marriage. This is how faith comes into play.
Wow. Wow. You know, I have to say to that, for me, a lot of times I was praying and I was fasting and I was, you know, doing everything. I was at the women's conferences and I was laying before the Lord on behalf of my marriage. And I was, you know, asking my prayer circle to pray with me and lift me up and all of this stuff. And the reality of it was, once I really got into the face of God, okay, for real, about the issues within my marriage and the things that were really, truly on the surface, the real deal issues, just like you just said, God began to show me, okay, well, Christina, you're selfish in this area. Or wow. Christina, you know, you're religious in this area, but you're not spiritual in this area.
Whoa.
And, you know, for me, I have even gone through a transformative process. You know, even now, after I've walked with God for many years, marriage has still taken me literally to the feet of the Father and has put me back on the potter's wheel, if you will. You know, and I've literally had to go through my own transformation, because when I look back at who I was when the marriage started, I was like, ooh, I don't think I'm proud of what I'm seeing.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that something, though? Isn't that something, how transformative marriage can be if we allow it?
If we allow it, wow.
And many have not allowed it, because it really can transform you for the better. It really can.
Yes, absolutely. And I tell anybody, marriage is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I've given birth, so that's, you're just saying something. But I also believe that it can be a beautiful journey. Like you said, we're all ever evolving. Every day we're changing, we're growing. But if you stay in communication with God, and if you continue to lean on Him, you know, it's not difficult to ride that thing out when you're leaning on Him and you're really listening. You know, the Holy Spirit will say, nope, don't say that.
Oh, yes.
Holy Spirit will say, check your heart.
That's right. You know?
And I think it's so important to, like you said, remember it's about humility. Remember that, first of all, if you're wanting to be the image of Christ in your marriage, then commit to that.
Absolutely.
You've got to be that, whether, you know, it's good, it's bad, it feels good, or it doesn't feel good. You still got to be committed to being the example of Christ in your marriage.
You sure do.
That's so powerful.
Yeah.
Now, to that point, I would say, what do you say, or how do you coach a woman who maybe has come to a place where loving her husband has become difficult? Maybe they're considering separation or divorce. How do you coach her, you know, as a wise wife? And where do you think, or where would you guide her to start?
Yes. The first thing, and currently I have a few wives that I am coaching right now that are, you know, in a real difficult place. And I sympathize with that. And I've been in a very difficult place in my marriage at times as well, too, where it just was like, you know what? I don't like this.
Right.
And I want to get out of this as quick as I can.
Right.
And so when you're loving him in a difficult place, you can't do that in your own strength.
Yes.
And you have to immediately realize that doing anything in terms of loving another human being, especially our husbands, is impossible without the strength of God. And I always start there. You have to lean and depend on God's wisdom, his insight, and his direction. Yes. Additionally, asking God for direction, because there's steps. If God is not saying anything, then that doesn't mean move. That doesn't mean do something. That means stand still.
Wow.
That means there is something for you to learn. There is something for you to learn out of this, or whatever lesson that God might be trying to show you, whatever he's trying to pull out of you.
Yeah.
It doesn't always mean, hey, separate and divorce. There are some instances where it is. But I don't believe that it is all the time.
Right.
I believe that there's lessons that God wants us to learn about ourselves, teaching us so that we can evolve and that we can grow. And then I also definitely give the definition of love, which nobody really likes to hear. You know, we hear it a lot at marriages. You probably have heard it at your own marriage. But the book of 1 Corinthians 13, and the very first attribute of love is patience.
Yes.
Wow. That is the first attribute of love. It says love is patient, and we're impatient. That's just the bottom line. We're impatient with the processes. We're impatient with when we want things to go our way. We want it to happen overnight, but love is patience.
Wow.
Patient. And it also talks about love being long-suffering.
Yes.
And unfortunately, there's going to be times in loving our husbands during difficult times, we're going to have to suffer long.
Wow.
But wow. In that, the grace is through God. Like, you're not without grace. You're not without strength. You're not without any tools. You have to do it in God. You can't do it outside of Him.
Wow.
You have to do it in Him. That is the only time that you'll be able to do it. I remember a time when, you know, me and my husband were going through a really, really difficult time. And I remember being in prayer and the Holy Spirit told me, He said, you use your faith for everything else. Use your faith to forgive Him.
Wow.
What?
That's big. Yeah.
Excuse me? He says, you use your faith for everything else, but you refuse to use your faith to love Him in this time of difficulty.
Wow.
Think about how I feel.
Wow.
I have to love and I have to ignore everything that people do to me and my heart, but I still love. I still give you grace. I'm still patient. I still suffer long.
Wow.
And that, I'll never forget it, because that day I ended up telling my husband that I'm going to use my faith for this time. Wow. I've used my faith for everything else. And faith is not what you see.
Yes.
It's not what you see, but yes, you have to exercise it. You have to literally do corresponding action along with faith for it to be faith.
Wow.
So I had to suffer long. I had to be patient. I had to be kind when I didn't want to be kind.
Wow.
I had to extend grace when I didn't feel He deserved my grace.
Right.
You know, as if I'm God.
Right.
You know, we can be very, very high and lofty and full of pride when someone we feel has, you know, hurt us.
Wow.
It's like, how dare you hurt me?
Right.
You don't deserve my grace. You don't deserve me being patient with you. But that's not how God does us.
Wow.
And another thing, I love to share this because I think this is a very big, huge missing piece in marriage, is that we forget that not only are we husbands and wives to each other, but we are to be we are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes. Wow.
We are not just husbands and wives. So we have to show the agape love. That is the love of our brother and sister in Christ. So
yes,
my husband is not just my husband. He's my brother in Christ. So I have to be concerned about his spiritual welfare.
Yes.
So I have to be concerned about him like my brother in Christ.
Wow.
And so would I treat my brother in Christ like that? Would I be short-tempered? Would I be unkind? Would I be unruly? Would I not be, you know, would I do all of those things to my brother in Christ? No, we wouldn't do that because we don't want nobody to see us cutting up like that.
Right, right.
So no, we want to put our best foot forward. But right, God, in marriage, He doesn't want us just to have, you know, just the romantic love, just the eros love.
Right.
He wants us to have the filial love, which is the companionship love, the friendship love. But He also wants that agape love, the brother and sister in Christ. All of those are so important, especially when you're dealing with difficulty in your marriage. You got to pull on those other components of love.
Wow. Now, I would also speak to the woman who feels like she's had her fill. You know, the woman who feels like, I've done right by him. I've done the best I could or what have you. And it just seems like he is determined to be this way, or he's, you know, he's not embodying the love of Christ or what have you. When you said, you know, you had to suffer long, I also believe that it really takes a relationship with God and knowing the voice of God and knowing the way that he speaks to you and knowing his word, so that you know how he's guiding you in order to really tap into that long suffering. Because I think for a woman who maybe on the surface, you feel like you're doing everything you can. Maybe on the surface, you feel like, you know, you've prayed about it, or maybe you've sought counsel from, you know, someone at church, or maybe even your pastor. It really is between you and God at the end of the day.
It truly is. No, you're absolutely right. It truly is. And you have to also you know, be discerning. Be discerning as to what season your marriage is in, because we all go through seasons of different things in our marriages. And so you being connected to God and being discerning and being sensitive to the voice of the Lord is going to be critical, because that's going to lead and guide you. It's like, okay, what season am I in? What's attacking our marriage right now?
Yeah.
What's going on? Maybe there's something that you're not seeing in the spirit realm. You're just like, well, maybe he's just cutting up and acting a nut for no apparent reason at all in your eyes, but maybe it's an attack.
Wow.
And so you have to be discerning so that you know what to pray. Yeah. Because if you're just praying, well, God, just get him because he's just acting a nut, but there's something that's in his heart that's not right, you're not praying the right thing.
Wow.
You're going to have to be discerning. You're going to have to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that you know what direction to go.
Yes. Yes. Even when it hurts. Yes.
It could be really something going on. It could really be something down the line that God is getting ready to do, but maybe this is a time of testing and the devil is coming, and maybe there's just an attack, and maybe you need to come against those attacks.
Right. Wow.
Well, so many different, you know, so many different things. It's not just a plain black and white answer. It's layered. It's layered with so many different things. So you really have to be in tune to the voice of the Lord.
Yes. Yes. And I would also add to that, I think for me, it took me getting outside of my box to really see that. And when I say my box, you know, having a relationship with God and in my own prayer time and, you know, praying the way that I prayed for myself and covering my family. And, you know, I learned how to war in the spirit, if you will. But when it's time to partner with God on behalf of your marriage, you can't be selfish in your prayers.
Oh my God. Yes.
Can't be one-sided. You can't only be praying to benefit yourself, because you're a partner. You're a partner with God, and you're a partner with your husband. And just like you said, not only is he your husband, but he's your brother in Christ. And you wouldn't want to see your brother fall. You wouldn't want to see your brother, you know, the weapons of warfare prosper against him. So it also made me begin to look at myself and my prayers, because I'm like, okay, Christina, you're praying, but are your prayers selfish? You're praying, but are your prayers also for the better of your husband?
Yes.
And that truly began to make all the difference for me as well. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think this last piece that I wanted to cover for that wise wife and even the woman who wants to be married, I truly believe that building a loving and lasting marriage requires more than just the act of choosing your spouse every day. It really does require that discipline. It really does require that, you know, that faith system. But when you are already walking into partnership and you have your own mindset, your own ideology, you've maybe had a system of belief ingrained in you as a child, how do you overcome maybe those familial references? Maybe your mom was a single mother and your aunt and your grandmother, or maybe you were raised in a two-parent home, but you know, you kind of glean and lean on what you saw your parents doing, and that's how you think marriage should go. How do you coach women to kind of set aside all of those preconceived notions and walk into marriage?
That's so good. I tell them to do exactly that. To literally throw away all of your preconceived notions about marriages. All of the marriages that you've seen, even your parents' marriages, if they were married, if you came from a broken marriage, all of that, because we know that our experiences shape our lives. And so if you're going into a marriage and you've seen a marriage this way, let's just say maybe she was an independent a wife, but she was married, but she did whatever she wanted to do. Well, that's going to transfer over to you. And so you have to throw away all of that. And I tell them that every marriage has its own DNA. Your marriage is not going to be your parents' marriage. You have to create and establish your own marriage. You have to establish your own, you know, foundational principles. It will not be your grandparents, your parents, your friends, your sisters. It has its own DNA. Another piece that I share with a wife who wants to be a future wife that wants to walk in wisdom is to do exactly what the word says. It says a wise woman builds her house. It doesn't say a wise wife, but she's not a wife yet. So the only person, in order to be a wife of wisdom, you have had to have been a woman who walks in wisdom.
Yes.
That's why there's not a lot of wise wives, because they weren't wise women before marriage.
Wow.
So you have to be a woman of God who is submitted to God first, long before she's ever a wife.
Wow. That's good.
Because there is absolutely no way that you will be able to submit to your husband's authority and you don't submit to God's authority.
Right.
That's not going to work.
Right.
You have to be a submitted, wise woman first before you become a wise, submitted wife.
Wow.
That's the homework that she would need to do, is to start focusing doing that. Am I submitted to God and God's voice? Do I listen? Do I submit? Do I reverence? Because it's going to sort of look exactly the same when you get married. It's just going to be a human being.
Yes.
Isn't that true?
It's so true. And I'm going to tell you, for me personally, I would have to say that piece, you know, learning to surrender, learning how to be led.
Yes.
Those are things you need to go ahead and decide today. If you're not already married, you're going to start learning how to do as a woman of God, because in those moments when you don't necessarily, you know, the idea may not be yours, you know? And so as a wife, it's going to happen. And so, you know, you have to already have the habit of being able to surrender yourself under authority.
Absolutely.
And I know for me personally, I was raised with a single mother and a very strong and powerful woman who could do everything. Okay. And so, you know, the image of a man doing everything did not exist in my world. And so if I had not taken the time to learn how to submit myself under God's authority and to truly yield myself, my decision-making, my goals, my purpose into his hands and into his teaching, then I truly, you know, you never learn how to do that otherwise, in my opinion.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. And I come from I'm a PK, I'm a pastor's daughter, and I came from, you know, a pastor's home, but my mother was an amazing, amazing woman before she passed. And she just took the time to walk with me and my sisters about submission and being a woman of wisdom and being a woman of worth and all of this. And I'm thankful to God for it now. However, through all of that teaching, I still had to walk through my own experiences in marriage, in terms of, you know, just creating our own DNA and coming under the authority of my husband was not easy, because I was a single mother for about 17, 18 years.
Wow.
And so I did everything my way. And then to come into agreement in marriage and then be a blended family, it's like, okay, I don't need you to do anything for my children. I got my children and you have yours.
Wow.
And so I came with this, I got it. I love him. I want to be with him. But in terms of taking care of me, don't worry about all that.
Right.
So that wasn't the right frame of mind. And so God really had to deal with me, because I had a lot of independence that I was unwilling to release.
Wow.
And I had to release it in order to for my marriage to really get to a great place, you know, that it is now. It's like I'm completely submitted to my husband's authority. Is it an easy place to be in? It never is.
Right.
But you have to understand that if you are a wife that believes and loves and trusts God, you have to understand that God has your back.
Yes.
And God is never going to allow you or your needs to go lacking when you're doing the right thing in God's eyes.
Wow.
What we do as wives, as to being submitted to our husbands, that is unto God. So our submission is unto God. It says in the word that wives submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord. That means when I submit, I'm submitting as unto my reverence for God.
Wow.
So I submit because I reverence God.
Yes.
I submit and obey because I love God. And I know God got my back. Even when it don't seem like this makes sense, God will take care of my husband if I don't do it, you know, or if it doesn't seem like this makes sense. God will deal with my husband. But my job is to submit to the authority and to reverence him and to do it as of reverence to God. And God takes care of me.
Wow.
God takes care of me.
That's powerful. And, you know, I think that's such an important piece to highlight, because I know for me personally, I think that I felt like I could do it my own way. You know, like I could still have the great marriage.
Yeah.
You know, I could still have the healthy marriage, the cute marriage, you know, doing it my own way. Like I can still be independent. I can still decide when I'm going to submit. I can still, you know.
Like, it's going to work. I got a plan. It's good. Like, it's going to work.
And I feel like you make such a great point, and that really speaks to the heart of the wife who wants to be, like you said, the truly surrendered, the submitted wife as unto God. It's not about ego. It's not about pride. It's about God. I know that you, at the end of the day, are my father, and you will not see your daughter hurt.
No.
You won't see me lacking. You won't see me. You won't allow the weapons to form against me. You won't let them prosper, you know? And so at the end of the day, that's where our mindset has to be. And again, it just goes right back to that selflessness for me, deciding that that's who you want to be. So I love that. This conversation has just been so packed with so many gems. I want to make sure that we let the listeners know where they can find you and what services you offer in case they find themselves newly engaged or ready to get married, maybe even already a wife, and they are looking for some coaching.
Okay. Well, I can be found. I am on Instagram at The Wise Wife. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at handle Wise Wives Rock. You can also find and purchase my two books on my website. My website is www.thewisewife.net. That's thewisewife.net. I offer wife and wife-to-be individualized coaching. I also do premarital counseling. I also have a upcoming masterclass coming up next Thursday.
Yes.
And it is actually called How to Walk in Wisdom as a Wife.
Wow.
If you would like to sign up for that, it is available on my website. The deadline is next Tuesday, but that would be a wonderful way to start, is to join my masterclass that I will be doing on next Thursday, talking about all of the how-tos of wisdom and how to operate, how to react and respond. And so that's how you find me.
Yes, I love it. And I have to say, ladies, check it out. Check out her page. Tap into the masterclass. You know, we really want to be the embodiment of what God calls his crown. And
yes.
Please tap into all of those great assets and resources that she is giving. Now, this last piece that we do, Delonda, we do a segment on the show, and I ask the question, what is testing your faith in this season?
Woo! Whoa, is that amazing? Oh my gosh. Boy, I feel like, what isn't?
Yeah.
You know, because of just the season that we're in with this, you know, with this pandemic.
Right.
And I love to be transparent and honest. So I don't even have to say, well, let me be honest, because I'm going to be. So, you know, in the beginning of this pandemic, you know, I have two older children. I'm a empty nester. Thank God. I have two adult children, but my daughter, graduated college, in April.
Yes.
And her graduation, was canceled. There was so many bookings that I had for my entire calendar that got canceled. And then I had a few that was kind of just lingering. And then I received my very last cancellation last week. And so that completely cleared out my entire calendar in terms of traveling.
Wow, yeah.
And I was just like, God, like what are you doing in this, you know, what are you doing in this season? And my faith has been so tested. And I just told the Lord, I said, hey, you know what? I am not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. Yeah. Even though I have been worrying, even though I've been sitting around trying to figure out what's going to happen. And, yeah. You know, my husband is a master barber. He owns his own shop. And so, you know, of course, you know, a couple months ago, the shops were down. And, right. And so we're just like, well, Father, you know, we are going to lean and depend on you for yes. everything. And what came to me in my spirit was that I'm going to tap into the source.
Wow.
And everything else is a resource.
Yes.
So God is our source. And so our jobs are, you know, whatever you do, if you're an entrepreneur, whatever it is, all of that is just a resource. It's not our source.
Yes.
It is the resource that God has utilized for us to receive, you know, provision. But yes. with everything that we need, God is our source. And when I tell you, I started to really change my mindset and I started to speak and declare, Father, you are our source. Yes. God, you are our provider. You said in your word that you are my shepherd and we shall not want for anything. And when I tell you, we received checks in the mail that we were wow. not even looking for. And wow. in this pandemic, in a time of where it should be nothing but lack, we yes. have not missed a beat.
Wow. To God be the
we
glory.
We have not missed a beat.
Yes.
And even though things may still come up and I might still get a little shifted, I am reminded that God is my source.
Yes.
Everything else is a resource. You've done this before. You're going to do it again. You have provided. And even with when it comes to my husband, I don't put unfair responsibilities on him. Now, does he take care of me very well? Yes. But he's still a resource.
Yes, yes.
God is the good. Source. God gives him the ability to get wealth.
Wow.
God increases good. His hands. And, you know, so I try not to get any of that confused. God is my source. God is our source.
Right.
And so that has been, whoa, that has been the thing now. And
wow.
And literally, you know, Christina, it's an everyday thing because,
yes.
you know, there's sometimes that something may come up, a cancellation or, you know, something might happen. And I'm like, oh, God. And then I'm reminded, no, Delonda, God is our source.
Yes.
And he's still providing. You haven't missed a beat. Ain't a bill went lacking. Nothing has went missing. Nothing lacking, nothing missing.
Yes.
And that's the kind of God that we serve. He's a thorough God.
Wow.
So
he is.
I'll trust you. There's no other way.
Right.
I have no other option but to trust yes. him. So he's been our source, and I'm so thankful.
Wow.
I'm so thankful to God.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate your transparency, and I love that about you. For me in this season, I think here recently, the thing that was testing my faith was, like you said, you mentioned the pandemic, and I have younger children.
Yes.
And my youngest was supposed to start pre-K this year. And then
yeah.
my son is in middle school. And I had already made the decision immediately. I said to myself, my babies are not going into anybody's building this year.
Oh, cool. I don't blame you. Absolutely.
I had to stand in faith because I still work in the corporate world. And I said, okay, God, you know, I'm going to trust you with this because I didn't know what my job was going to do. I didn't know if they were going to require us to come back or if we were going to be able to continue to telework. And, you know, I continue to pray and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm seeing these emails and the timeline
right.
is coming. And finally, you know, my job made an announcement that we would be able to continue to telework. And I'm so grateful to God for this time of being able to protect my children and still teach
yes.
home. And this is totally new for me. I joke, you know, all the time that I am not ever homeschooling and, you know, that's not my thing. But in this season, you know, like I posted not too long ago that if you want to work in purpose, you have to learn how to pivot.
Whoa.
And, that Ooh. Was truly.
That is powerful.
Listen, that came from a real place.
Whoa.
You
Whoa.
Know,
because,
you know, during this pandemic, I truly stepped out on faith and did some things that, you know, I never envisioned myself doing. And God has
yeah.
been blessing. And so I thank God for, you know, the fluidity to pivot in this season of life. Although it was
yeah.
testing my
yeah.
faith and I was
yeah.
like, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. I thank him for being the captain, you know what I mean, of my ship.
Yes, Ooh. Yes.
like you said, we've not missed a beat. We've lacked nothing. Nothing has gone undone. And so I'm grateful, but Lord knows my faith has been tested.
Oh my God. Has it? It really has. But we were sharing last night with a couple, me and my husband, and we were like, you know what? A lot of things are happening in our world, but I'm starting to just really see that God is taking care of his own. If we just stay consistent and stay true to his word and just trust him, he's taking care of his own.
Yeah,
he's not allowing us to lack
despite
what's happening all around us.
Yeah. And that's been a beautiful thing to see. I'm so grateful, Delanda. Thank you so much for being a part of Faith Talks with Christina today.
I am so honored to be with you, Christina. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And I definitely think that there's going to be more that we will do in the future. I am so excited about this partnership. I thank God for connecting us. And I am just so honored again to have had you today on Faith Talks with Christina.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to Faith Talks with Christina today. I am so honored that you chose to join me. If you are a new listener and you have not already subscribed, do me a favor. Head on over to your favorite outlet, wherever you may have been listening, and subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review. Let us know how you enjoyed this message. Send this message out to whomever you feel like needs to hear it. Send it to your homegirl. Send it to your homeboy. Send it to that married couple that maybe you partner with. And again, if there is something that's been testing your faith, I hope that you will partner with God on behalf of your marriage, on behalf of that thing, and let him show his power.